Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Friday morning. Getting victory over this cold. Man, I picked it up on the way to Washington, D.C. last Tuesday, I think it was. Wasn't David, it was a Monday night. On the way there, I started hacking. I knew what was going on. But I got to give credit to my personal physician, Victor, out in Arizona. I say this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it's true. It's so true. I just appreciate the fact so much that Victor cares about me. I'm just telling you the truth. You know, we all know, those of us in the huddle, we're about as tight as you can get. We understand all that. We're good cult. We understand that. But Victor checks in on me every day, and then I get a package yesterday in the mail. He said, I gotta take these lozenges. So I've been sucking on these lozenges. They're called Sambuk's Zinc Lozenges, mint flavored, elderberry vitamin C. So Dr. Victor sent me that. And then Dr. Victor sent me this. This is something to drink. It's a healthy immune system booster. So Victor calls me and makes sure I've taken that. And then he sends me these. These are Orega Max, natural source, calcium, and more. So, hey, Kyle Mantan, all you God haters out there, that sorry I'm still alive, blame Victor. He's the one. And then he shot me this stuff. And I do this. Ah, silver. Hi-oh, silver. Away. So, thanks, Victor, for nursing me back to health. I'm still hacking a little bit, but how can you go wrong with a buddy like Victor from Arizona? I think he's in Arizona, New Mexico, or El Paso. El Paso, one of those places out there. God bless you, Victor. Thanks, man. Hey, this is Flea Flicker Friday. I'm kind of lighthearted today. I don't know if you picked up on that, for life of me. I don't know why I'd be lighthearted. I can't think of anything. Yes, I can. I'm going to show you a couple things. Flea Flicker Friday. You can all jump in here, okay? There's 26 of us in the queue. Come on, we got room for a few more. Jared, let's go to my Facebook page. I'm going to show you a couple of reasons why I'm lighthearted this morning. And hopefully you can join in the lightheartedness. I want to do an expose here that most of you have never seen. So here we go. Are we ready? We know David Arthur and how much David Arthur has how God has raised him up off of his deathbed, and the changes he made in his life. And I testified yesterday about the change that was made in my life. You want to talk about change? Look at that boo-boo on your screen right there. That'd be Dale Socia. Huh? That'd be Dale Socia. That's Pastor Dale. I thought maybe it was ACDC or DCAC or something like that. No, I said only Jesus could save this hippie. Go, Pastor Dale Socia. So there you are.
Yes. I'm laughing, Dale, Coach.
You got a pass, don't you? You got a pass. And Dale, I hate to tell you this, Michelle looks cute in there, man. It's not like you just, how the heck did you hook her, Dale? Look at you and look at her and ask yourself, how did that happen? That's a miracle.
I'll tell you, Coach, it's a simple sentence. Love is blind. Michelle married me.
That is proof of that, brother. That is for sure. So did you put it up? Was it your anniversary something, Dale, or are you just taking a trip back down memory lane? What was that all about?
Man, look, I saw that last night. My friend from California, where we were, that little church. I was saved, brother, at that time. I just want to let you know I was delivered. When you look at that picture, brother, you think rock and roll, drugs and all that. That was definitely me. But when I got saved, I got set free from everything. except for that hair that I had living out in California. And so that was when I proposed to Michelle. It was a big deal. And that little church that we were attending to, and we got married 3 months later.
Wow. You know, listen, folks, I don't want to get too serious yet, okay? But here's what's missing, in my opinion. This is what's not talked about in the church, and that is that the walking an aisle and saying a prayer and receiving Christ as your Savior is not transformation. It's not transformation. We're supposed, the Bible says, we're supposed to be transformed. And what does that mean? Form. We have a form and a transformation. Trans means a cross, means an entirely complete traversing of a brand new thing. I have been transformed by the power of God. Dale Socia has been transformed by the power of God. Look at it. There's proof. David Arthur has been transformed by the power of God. And see, there is very... Okay, Lord, I'll say it. Most folks ain't men. That's what you're seeing in your churches. You see people who are saved, but they're not transformed. And until you're transformed, you really have no use to the Lord. I'm going to say that again. Until you're transformed, you really have no use to the Lord. Because until you're transformed, it's still you. It's all you. And I'm not bragging on Dale. I've been around Dale long enough to know that dude's transformed. I've been around David Arthur enough to know, whew, boy, is that dude transformed. And I've been around a lot of Christians who I know, boy, that dude ain't transformed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I know you do. Yeah.
You know, yes. It's that walking the aisle and saying the sinner's prayer not only doesn't transform you, it's not even scriptural. There's no example of it.
That's right. Putting on, receiving Jesus as your Savior. Go ahead, Jared.
Just with just yesterday it happened. I litmus test for you guys is just talk about David Arthur's testimony. Just say the words ex transgender, and watch what they do. They shut up like a clam. And it's like you're a Christian. And you're not even curious about how this guy came out of his 30-year lifestyle, and it just shuts you up? Why? You know, shouldn't we be celebrating and rejoicing this amazing, like, transformation? And yet, you say ex-transgender, and people, whoop, whoop, shut up like a clam.
It's true when you say, you know, I state that I am an ex-alcoholic. I didn't get recovered. I got delivered by Jesus.
Amen, brother. And you're not still an alcoholic, are you, Larry?
That's right.
You're not still, and David Arthur is not still a transgender. It is something that testifying that evidence, that profound evidence that people want to see and they don't want to believe it. Because I don't want to get there yet, man. I don't want to get there. There's no power in the church. We don't believe. Okay, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there right now. I was really struck yesterday, after yesterday's show, which I don't know what you guys think. Man, they just keep getting better. Of course, I'm the host. I think they do. Yeah. I'm thinking, I'm glad I don't have to miss these things. Because as I shared, I had a phone call with Victor yesterday, and as I shared to Victor, Victor's repeating stuff that I said on the show. And then I talked to other guys who are taking notes. I said, Coach, you said this. You said this. And I get Facebook or emails from people saying, man, you said this. And I'm telling you, I don't even remember saying it. And because I want you to know, folks, that is evidence of the Holy Spirit at work. Holy Spirit speaking through me, it almost bypasses my brain. Does that make sense? I say stuff that when I hear later, I think, wow. And so, so yesterday was one of those moments. And I saw it very, very clearly. I saw it very, very clearly. And here's what I saw very clearly. See, the church, the dead, liturgical, dry bone church, or even the charismatic maniac church. The folks, listen. They don't believe that the body of Christ, the church, they don't believe it can be resurrected. The average church believes things are going to get worse. The average church believes that. How could God possibly work with a bunch of dead unbelief? How could he possibly do that? And you say, well, coach, it's not unbelief. It's what it says in the scriptures. Yes, but it's just so funny that the Lord led me to this morning. Are you ready for this? Jared, Philippians 4. The Lord led me to this. In fact, folks, I prayed this before the show in the queue before we went on the air. I prayed this. Look at it. Go to verse 8. Oh, man, I would like to read this whole thing, man. I'd like to read this whole thing. Can I read this whole thing, even though it's flea flicker? Therefore, my brother, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Herodias, and beseech Syntyche. Why didn't he call them Tom and Billy? I don't know. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. Whoa, my boy. These are steps to higher learning, man. Number one, we got to be in the same mind of the Lord. We all do. We have to be in agreement in the same mind of the Lord. 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, we're yoked together, help these women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. See, guys, let me look at Roger and Larry and Dale and David and Dr. Mike and Gary. I read down the list. We are fellow laborers. We're not opposition to each other. We're co-laborers, man. It's like we're a basketball team and you're the fifth man. You are a player, whether you're scoring or not, whether you're just getting rebounds, whatever, you're a co-laborer. We are all in this thing together, supposed to be, not with all the divisions we have and fighting over this and fighting over that. Verse 4, how about this one? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice what? In the Lord. Why? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. Be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean not to be careful. It means don't be careless. Don't be careless. Don't be careless. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, if you do that, which passes all understanding, is going to keep your heart and mind. It's going to keep your heart and your mind. Your heart and your mind. The heart and the mind. It's going to keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. But finally, boys and girls, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise. Hey, dudes, think on these things. Why are we thinking for revival in America? Why are we thinking for the collapse of the deep state? Why are we standing and praying and believing? Why are we praying and believing for the end to come? I'm asking a question. Can somebody explain that to me? Can these dry bones live? Can they live? Is there resurrection power in the church? Could Christ resurrect his dead church today and life come back to the good old U.S. of A? And I'm telling you, no, because there isn't faith in the church to believe for it. We can't wait for it to get worse. Somebody say amen.
Amen, brother. It's deception. That's what happened.
And God's sitting up there. Maybe he wants to do it. The Bible says that in the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Old man going to dream dreams. Young men going to see visions. So it's going to be unbelievable in the last days. Are we believing for that? Heck no. Heck no. We're hunkering down and hiding. We're not taking it to the streets. Say, oh, man, it looks bad. Yahoo! Let's go, baby. Let's go. Burning fire. The house is on fire. Let's go. Let's go put that dude out. We don't have that attitude. And so we're living out self-fulfilled, what do you call it? Implosion. That's what we want to. When have you heard this message preached in the church? Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things, give heart and soul, mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Rise up, rise up, rise up. Do we hear that in our churches? No. No! Hunker down's what we hear. Hunker down, hunker down, hunker down. Oh, get ready, hunker down, hunker down. How can the Lord possibly bless that? And then we get Donald Trump that comes in, and all we can do is talk about how what a pagan he is, and he ain't Christian, and he's out there trying to blow air into dry bones, and the church won't even receive the breath. Thank God that I was in a good mood.
Hey, David.
Yes.
I don't want to ruin your good mood, but I think you're moving in the right direction. Here's my question. Let's assume Trump's a pagan. Let's say he's one of the better pagans. Throughout Scripture, did not God use pagans to fulfill what he wanted to have done? And if that is in the Old and New Testament, what in the world are Christians doing doubting who God is using?
Roger, when we built this massive penthouse in which I live here with this $45 million studio, the first thing they did is they came in and they bulldozed. They moved so much stinking dirt, I didn't even recognize the property. And could Trump be a bulldozer? Has it ever dawned on anybody he's the bulldozer cleaning out the grass and the weeds and getting ready to lay a foundation? Could he be the bulldozer? Oh, no. No, I'm looking at Israel, and we're about out of here. Hey, money, what if God wanted to do something, and he can't do it because we're just a bag of dry, dead bones? Help me, Dale. Help me, Rhonda. Somebody help me here today.
Well, here you go, Coach, using your own theology that it's going to get evil and worse than evil. Well, Romans 8 says this, where evil is, the grace of God abounds even there much more, which is the revelation. And the power is there even more so.
Well, brother, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Isn't that what it says? And why are we so convinced? It's like a football team. Well, we're ahead now, but hell. Oh God, hold on. I just know something bad's gonna happen. What kind of,
because it's not about what God says, it's about what we believe God says.
Uh-huh. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. And those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we're not diligently seeking him that those dry bones might have life. Speak to those dry bones, have life. Stand up, fight back. I got grandbabies coming, for heaven's sakes. Come on, dudes. And then if the rapture comes, okay. I went down trying to make things better. We're living out a self-fulfilled death prophecy. Go ahead, Jared.
Hey, Coach. Oh.
Hey, hang on. You may want to turn out. If you like doom and gloom, you may want to tune out. Because I think we're getting ready to turn the corner. And if that upsets you, then tune out. Go ahead, Jared.
Well, it's any leg, any of the three, we have to connect the dots here. Any of the three legs of God, of our, we've divorced the church from everything else. We've divorced the spirit of the country. We've divorced the government of the country. They've divorced each other. They've divorced each other, and we're separation of church and state. You know, and we've put everything into these boxes that are completely separate, but that's a lie. They're not separate. The church can't go one way without the state going another way. The family can't go one way without the church going another way. It's connected. And then we've divorced the spiritual from the physical. The physical goes one way, and the spiritual, it's all connected. It's one. You know, God became flesh. He bridged the gap. It's all connected. It all plays together.
So, Jared, yesterday I'm watching David Arthur's show, and Tom Dunn's on there. Tom Dunn. Man, what, David, that was really, really good yesterday. And you know what Tom Dunn started talking about? And I'm sorry. Hang on a minute. Tom Dunn started talking about demons and MK Ultras and all the stuff that's going on out in the culture. I'm sorry, I had to put it on. And he started talking about stuff that, I hate to tell you this, just absolutely made sense. About running into demon-possessed people out in the streets and demon-possessed people in our churches and demon-possessed people in government and how we've been given authority over the demons. We've got to... Here, I'll put... Here.
Right. Explain it otherwise, Coach. Right. What the heck?
Well, I don't even care if they explain it otherwise. Right. Why? Why are we accused? Why am I accused? In a tinfoil hat, I do it jokingly, right? Yeah. Doctrines of demons. What's a doctrine of demon? A doctrine of demons is a demon teaching. It's not study of demons. We should study the demonic. The Lord warns us of that. He tells us not to be ignorant of his devices. We're not supposed to be ignorant of what the devil's doing and how he's operating. But see, churches, I'm just telling you, they get uncomfortable about it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. What is that word, rust? I wish I could speak that Greek like Russ does. I'm sorry, Russ, something demonic, whatever it is, doctrines of demons. See, doctrines of demons isn't teaching about demons. It's what waking us to what the demons are teaching. That's the doctrines of demons.
Right.
My goodness.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, come on, George.
Okay, Coach, so all these years while this evil has been running rampant, the church I grew up in, I don't know if anyone else grew up in a church like this, but basically the church I grew up in really ingrained in me that Jesus was this really nice guy that wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't really confront evil. He just was very nice, very passive. So nowadays, like yesterday, I invite this guy down to the abortion clinic. This guy played Division I basketball. I've gotten to know him. And you know what? It's kind of like I was a few years ago, because that image of Jesus has been ingrained in his psyche for years now. Yep. It's uncomfortable for him thinking about going down to an abortion clinic, because he can't envision that Jesus would want him to go down to an abortion clinic.
Oh,
and so in there lies the problem, is we have a re-education program to put people through, just like I had to go through, and probably many of you guys.
It's tough. And so I'm swimming upstream. Hey, Victor, I'm going to drink some of this. I'm swimming upstream. I'm swimming upstream, getting opposition from those who ought to be on my own side. I'm just saying, hey, dude, the devil's at work here. Look what he's doing here. Look what he's doing here. And look what he's doing here. That ain't doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons are telling you that Jesus accepts homosexuals. That's doctrines of demons.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah. Let me get high here from Victor a second.
Go ahead, swig that. Hey, Coach, while you're swigging that, think about this concept. We think about God as a conquering God. He's coming back as a king.
Yep.
If you took yourself in the men mentality and you're coming back for this church, would you want to come back for somebody who's on the front line and they're just blazing the gates of hell over at an abortion clinic, or somebody wants to climb in the back seat of the car and kiss you and say, "Open my eyes, Lord," as you would sing? I mean, think about that from God's perspective. What are you looking for, brother? If Christ comes back, hey, so be it. Brother, I want to be at the front lines when he comes back, snatching people out of hell with me. That self-preservation mentality, you know, we got loved ones. We got friends and family that's not saved yet. How dare we have the mentality to just take me out of here, God, when God has come to die for those who are perishing in their sins? We should be snatching them. I want to be, if I'm going to get raptured out, brother, I want two unsaved souls that I'm leading, grabbing out of hell on the way up.
Okay, sir. Dale, folks, think about this a second. If we are the body of Christ, and he manifests himself, what would that look like? What would the body of Christ be, Mr. Rogers or Hulk Hogan? What would the body of Christ look like? And you tell me right now, the image of the body of Christ is Mr. Rogers. It ain't Hulk Hogan.
It's the ultimate warrior, brother. Screw that.
Right. That's right. Hulk Hogan. Jesus Christ is Hulk Hogan. That's and see, we're that body. We're the body. But they've convinced us that we're his bride. Oh, I don't even want to get into that. Oh, my goodness, huh? Yep. There he is, huh? Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hulk Hogan. There's the body of Christ.
Yeah, but step outside of America, brother, and you go to China and these places, or Korea, and you will see people that are vehemently sold out for Jesus and willing to die for the cause.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Mike Spaulding said, hunkering down equals compromise. That's it, man. Hiding and let the world go to hell. That's not the gospel. Sorry, that isn't the gospel. This is Flea Flicker Friday. Throw something out there if you want to, or come on in here. I got a couple more things to show you. Let me do this real quick, Jared. Go back to my Facebook page. I just want to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Go down there. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Remember, we've been praying for my, my daughter, Maggie, Abby, to get pregnant. Look at this, folks. There's our two babies. That's Abby and Maggie. If you scroll up just a little bit more, Jared, they're both holding pictures of their babies. Can you scroll that up, Jared? It's on my Facebook page. The other way, buddy. There you go. There, you went by it. There they are. Each of them, they're both pregnant. They're both pregnant.
Gorgeous.
2 months, 2 months apart, both working on their third little bambino. Maggie, the youngest one there with the red fingernails, she just found out she's having a little girl. Abby's a couple months behind her. Abby's the one who lost a child in a miscarriage a few months ago. But God's faithful. There they are. Look at that. Is that something? That's something to rejoice for. Now, here's what I got to ask myself, Grampy, do I just hunker down in my house? Because, you know, these two little babies, they're only going to make it to be about 2 years old and we'll be out of here. Be out of here. Grampy, there's no sense fighting for them. We'll just all be out of here. Is that the attitude I ought to have? Or should I look at those two little ones and say, man, I got to rise up and do something here. I got a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I got to leave something better to my grandbabies than what I have. I think that ought to be a Christian man's attitude. Not defeatist.
For our posterity, coach, not our prosperity.
Yeah, our posterity, not our prosperity. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I said somebody want to come in. Come on in here. I got something else to throw. I keep saying that, and then I get this tap on my chest. I say, no, I got to show them this. Got to show them this. I'll shut up a minute. Anybody, come on in. Don't feel you have to. Okay, good. Good. Stay silent. I got something better. So now we're all there's something at work that bothers me, okay? I don't know why. I'm not worried about Donald Trump. I'm not worried about him making America great again. He's the bulldozer. He's clearing the way for those of us who carry the name of Christ to rebuild a foundation. He's the excavator. And we aren't building the new house because we think we're leaving. When we were going to Washington D.C., I was riding with Lowell was driving, and David Arthur was with us, and we went through Washington, PA, I think it was, and I pointed out to Lowell and David. I said, "Look out over the horizon, and look at the steeples, the old steeples in this town. You could see them. There were about five or six of them. You look over landscape, the big old steeple. Yeah, I know it's a phallic symbol. Save the emails. The big steeples that were going up." Was sending a message to everybody in the community, we're here to stay. Boom, here we are. We're here to stay. That big old steeple rising above everything. And then you stop and think about the churches that you're seeing built today. They don't even have a cross on them. They don't have a steeple. Why? Because we're going to be out of here, man. Let's build a steel building. We can build a steel building, and it may not last 500 years, but it'll get us through the next 10 or 15. Then we'll all be out of here, and then hopefully whoever comes in there, hopefully it'll collapse on them. It comes back to our mentality, right? So there's something going on, and I don't get into conspiracies, although I'll put one on again. And I coined a phrase last week, secularization without representation, which is what happened to American government. Christianity was moved out of the way because secularists got on the Supreme Court and eliminated morality. That's basically what they did. And so now we're engaged in a great civil war, as Abraham Lincoln said, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure, or met on a great battlefield war. And so Donald Trump now is going to pick another Supreme Court justice. And I just thought it was interesting. 41% of American Christians would be what you would call evangelical. Now, I don't even know what that means. If we were to look it up, I think you would find that an evangelical Christian is a Christian who believes he has a duty and a responsibility to share his faith with others. I think in its most simple terms, that's an evangelical Christian. Now, are Methodist evangelicals? Probably not. Maybe they were one time. Episcopalians? Oh, no. No, sorry. Catholics? No. Catholics don't even know how to. A Catholic, for the most part, the average Catholic could not evangelize a toad. They don't have any idea other than to try to get them to become Catholic. They don't understand it. Presbyterians are the evangelicals have become like the charismaniacs, right? And the home church movement and those who have come out of mainstream churches, that that's about 40% of American Christian. Okay. And so I said, secularization without representation. How can it be that on the current Supreme Court, Jared, maybe you can pull that up. I'd sent you that email there, Jared. I don't even know what it says, what it says on the email. It says Trump picks, Jared. Trump picks. And so I found this today, and I thought, what's going on here? What's going on here? And it was somebody sent this to me, and I said, huh, what's going on here? Secularization without representation. It's not on the screen. Jared said 30 seconds. I went, there it comes. There it comes. Okay, look at this, folks. A Roman Catholic Jesuit educated candidates overrepresented on President Trump's SCOTUS shortlist. So here's SCOTUS's shortlist. You ready? Brett Kavanaugh, Roman Catholic, Jesuit educated, Georgetown Prep School. Same as the first Trump appointee, Neil Gorsuch, Yale University Law School. How about Amy Coney Barrett? She's got 7 children. Roman Catholic educated, Notre Dame University. How about Raymond Kethledge? He'd be a good one, wouldn't he? Well, his religion's undetermined. Sure, we don't really know. University of, how could you determine? I won't use his name. I had a friend tell me who knows very, very closely that John Roberts, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, basically was a religious. And when he ran, when he was nominated to go on the Supreme Court, he had to pick a religion, so he picked Catholicism because his wife's a Catholic. But John Roberts had no interest in religion. Okay, so Amul Thapar, why, he's a Roman Catholic. Jesuit educated, Boston University, Berkeley School of Law. Mike Lee, he's a Mormon. What? Yeah, he's a Mormon. Joan Larson, religion undetermined. Thomas Hardiman, Roman Catholic educated. Her name, can somebody help me out? What is going on? Jared, keep going down a minute. Go down a little bit lower. So I thought, well, the current, what is on the current one? Catholics are Roberts, Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch. You say, no, well, not Gorsuch. He's Episcopalian. No. He was Catholic and converted to the Episcopalian Church, which are two fingers of the same bone anyway. So it doesn't matter. And isn't it interesting? Justice Kennedy, who just resigned, was a Catholic. And Justice Scalia, who was murdered, was a Catholic. And so our Supreme Court is made up of Roberts, Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch, 4 Catholics. They're trying to get a 5th Catholic on to side up with Jews, Ginsburg, Breyer, Kagan, and Sotomayor. What in the name of whatever is going on here? Hey, am I too tinfoil hat here?
No, little tinfoil hat. You're seeing that we're not really being represented. We're not.
Why are we not? What's going on? What's going on? And so, listen.
Population as a whole has been trained to believe that Catholics and, quote, Protestants are two fingers of the same bone, which is not
true. Larry, wouldn't you think that someone on that in the Senate and the House, somewhere along the way, would point this out? Wouldn't you think that? See, here's, can I tell you why they won't? They won't. First of all, they think Catholics are pro-life, and that's not necessarily true. But number two, Evangelifish is beep 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 pro-life, beep beep beep, and as I said, even on a bad day, pro-life is 50-50 in America, 50-50. It's probably 80-20 if they were really presented the facts. And yet they say that to put a pro-life candidate on is radical, out of the mainstream. What's going on, boys?
You know what's crazy about that, Coach? If you think about American history and the Revolutionary War, and you do a little study on when they were writing the Constitution, when they talked about freedom of religion, there was a big debate over the word religion, because they wanted to put Catholic in there. That's the word they really wanted to use, the freedom from the Catholic tyranny that was going on in Great Britain. But yet here we see it, the people in power in the Supreme Court, what are they? Catholic.
Folks, listen, I was raised Catholic. So I feel that it's like me saying, I used to be black. Can I say I used to be black and speak on behalf of blacks? Can I say I used to be Catholic? And can I say I used to be gay and speak on behalf of gays? No, I guess I have to remain gay to be able to speak about gays. But I used to be Catholic. I was raised Catholic, okay? I was raised Catholic. Hey. And I know this, that the I love Catholic people. I love Catholic people. But the Catholic religion, the rules and regulation and the Pope and the cardinals and folks, come on, man. Come on, man. And right now, if you are a Catholic and you're watching and I make you nervous, ask yourself, why? 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 Why?
Hey, Coach.
Why does that make you nervous? And I point out that your Pope is a kook. The Pope's a kook. And he speaks for the church. And Catholics say, oh, no, well, he's not really Catholic. He doesn't really speak for the church. Well, who does? Mary? Does Mary speak for it? Show me that, please. So come on, Catholics. Hey. Come on. I know you love Jesus. Come to the truth. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. They're trying to pull me back in all the time. Go ahead. I made a bunch of enemies there. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach, as a former Episcopalian, to say this. The Bible says that the Holy Catholic Church, right?
Yep.
Hey, I'm just trying to keep you lighthearted again.
Well, George, they must have some power because they're getting five appointees on the Supreme Court. Try that one. Let's try to get one evangelifish. Are you kidding me? Five Catholics, though, and seven in waiting. I'm going on, baby.
You guys know how I'm kind of one that likes to put scripture into context of things. You know, I've known some Catholics who are my brothers and sisters in Christ. I've known some even Methodists who are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's even a Baptist or two out there that are my brothers and sisters in Christ. But see, the difference is they are my brothers and sisters in Christ who go to those locations for their, quote, church. But I've never known a Catholic who is my brother or sister in Christ. Because, you see, the Bible says that what comes out of your mouth is what was in your heart. And when somebody identifies their religious label, their religious experience as a denomination, that denomination is their God, not God the Father.
Yeah, Larry, I would agree, and it's not just Catholics, right?
Right, it's not just Catholics. It's every one of those flavors out there. I call denominations flavors. Every one of those flavors out there have a few real brothers and sisters in Christ in amongst them. Now, I can't understand why a true brother or sister in Christ would want to stay in that mess, but if that's where the Holy Spirit's got them, that's where the Holy Spirit's got them. It's not up to me to lay judgment on that. But I will say this, very, very, very few of the people in those groups are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And the clear, easy way to find out is just listen to them talk, because what comes out of their mouth is what was in their heart. And by golly, if that denominational label comes out as their self-agreed recognition as to what their religious, quote, position is, then that's what was in their heart. And that denomination is their God, not our Father in heaven.
And Larry, see, it's sad. They're not malicious. They've been mistaught, and they've believed a lie. Now, if I was an ex-gay, everybody would say, oh, look, there's Coach. He's ex-gay. And maybe he can speak and all the gays will listen to him. And they say, oh, there's Coach Dave. He's an ex-drug addict. But he found Jesus, and maybe we can get him to speak to the drug addicts and say, hey, there's Coach Dave. He used to be a Catholic and then he got saved. Maybe he can speak to all the Catholics. But see, the Catholics don't. Oh, no. You're a Catholic basher. I'm not a Catholic basher. I'm not. As Larry said, come on, dudes. Come out of that religion and come into the liberty of Christ. Somebody else, come on in. I didn't mean this to be beat up on Catholic Day. Nobody? Okay, good. Good. Y'all.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Coach, I think from the evangelical community, there's no, like your message says at the beginning of the show, evangelifish, there's no backbone. We've got a demand as a people. You know what? If we don't like the legislation, if we don't like our the things going on in our country, evil. So we have to stand up and demand that we get someone like-minded on the Supreme Court. If we don't do that, then
George, if we get somebody like-minded on the Supreme Court, then the rapture won't come.
Hey, Coach, this is what it is. I just typed it in. All right, it doesn't matter how uncomfortable a subject you meet you, right?
Right.
You have to discuss things. We have to be able to talk through things. So when you stifle peaceful discussion and you aren't a sheep, there's only one other, only one response that you should expect. We're not going to bend over our country. We're not bending over. We're not going to take this nonsense anymore. And the people need to understand that.
So, Jared, click on transgender deacon. Now, so let's think about this here a second. Let's think of the outside world, all right? Let's not think of the Christian world, the Christian box, all of us in Christendom who understand real Christianity and say, oh, well, that's just that denomination. They're lost. Well, that's just, you know, that's just what they believe. They're just progressive. Well, we could say that, but people who aren't Christians, they don't get it. They don't get it. So look what's on your screen right now. The United Methodist Church has appointed a transgendered deacon.
I'm sorry, Coach. I had the mic break. Was that a breakup? Did you say transgender demon?
Deacon.
Demon? Yeah. Demon. Yeah, I got it.
That's what I meant, right? And so to the outside non-Christian world, they're looking at this and saying, oh, okay, the United Methodist Church, well, that's a big denomination. Wow, they're accepting transgenders, right? You see what happens? See? And those of us inside say, well, we're not going to, hell, they're lost. We're not going to argue with it. Well, we need to make a statement against it. We need to speak up and say, this is of the devil. This is doctrines of Domenica. What's that word Russ used? This is doctrines of demons. This is doctrines of demons. Church needs to be saying that. See, we won't do that. And I'm saying more and more, we've got to point our guns at those who say they are our friends and are not. The United folks, the United Methodists are not our friends anymore. They're not our friends anymore.
The United Methodists are one of those groups that back in 1999 signed an agreement. There's other saviors other than Jesus.
So they're not our friends anymore.
Done. Coach, could you imagine being sitting in that church and seeing that person lay their hands on your grandchild?
Right? So you see where your enemies shall be those of your own household. You see that the chickens have come home to roost. Stay with me here. Jared, go to Charles Lawson. Now, this is 15 minutes. I don't know, is Ray LeBlanc with us today? Ray's always listening somewhere. You just never know where he is. He may be catching the replay of it later on. Ray, I want you to connect us with Pastor Charles Lawson. He's down there in Tennessee or Kentucky or one of those places. This is a brother in the Lord. Now, this is a 15-minute video. I'm not going to show all of it, okay? But this is Pastor Charles Lawson, an old-time, good-time preacher. And he put together this video, and it's very, very powerful. We're going to watch about 5 minutes of it. But we're going to see exactly, I'm going to show you exactly what is happening to us. If Pastor Lawson spells this out very, very, very well. So play that, Jared. This is in Charles Lawson. I'll send you a copy of this. We won't watch all of it. Go ahead.
Marvel at our generation, because our generation lives as if it's the only generation that has ever lived. I marvel at that. I marvel at the arrogant spirit that comes forth from the average American, where they feel like that they are entitled to everything. They should make no sacrifices, that everything should be laid at their feet, and that they are the greatest thing that has ever lived on the face of the earth. I marvel at that attitude. I marvel at that selfish, self-centered attitude of the average American. And am I right? Is that the average American? And when you preach to them, they feel like that you have no right to tell them what to do, that they are so great and so wonderful that they can make their own choices simply. Why? Because I'm an American, that's why. Well, I've got news for Americans. God loves Japanese just as much as he loves Americans. He loves Africans as much as he does American. He loves the Portuguese, he loves the Italian, he loves the Spaniard, the Russian. It makes no difference to him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God is not impressed with America. Make no mistake about it, he is not impressed with America. I'm a native-born American. I know a little bit about this country. And I know a little bit about the spirit of the people who live here. Americans, for the most part, are hardworking people. Or you wouldn't have the kind of country that you've got. They're hardworking people. But this generation of all generations feels entitled. They feel like that when I say, what do you mean by entitled? They feel like that they have a right for all of the wealth, all of the riches, all of the blessings, everything there is, they feel entitled to it. And it doesn't stop with just the people. It goes into the church. The church feels that way. Don't trample on my rights. Don't dare preach to me and tell me that I'm a sinner. Because I'm just like everybody else. I have a right to do this. Rights of the people over the rights of God. So the book of Revelation helps us locate where we are historically, geographically, and prophetically. For the book of Revelation helps us understand where we're headed. Because I can read Revelation and I realize by reading this book that what he said 2,000 years ago is coming together. In the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, a woman is seen riding a beast. That woman that rides that beast becomes very prominent in the book of Revelation. The reason she is prominent is because she plays a very important role in the coming of the Lord Jesus right before his advent. You should be aware of that tonight. If you don't know anything else, you need to know what I'm about to tell you. You need to be warned about what I'm going to tell you in just a moment. You need to understand that this is not a cheap thing. That we're not here tonight to try to give you a bunch of moral platitudes to kind of teach you how to live and how to think about yourself. You get plenty of that on TV. We're not here tonight to give you some kind of a trumped up prosperity gospel where it teaches you how to feed that greed, I mean, time and time again. All you got to do is tune in TV and you'll get all kinds of prosperity pimps dishing it out to you day in and day out. It's not what we're here for. We're here tonight to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the whole counsel of God, and that is the word of the living God. But in Revelation chapter number 17, it says a woman rides the beast. Who is this woman that rides the beast? Drunken with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus Christ. For 2,000 years, she has shed the blood of the saints of God, of Christians. Christians. Who is this woman? If we can identify this woman, we can identify the religious system in America, and we can identify the situation as it is right before the second advent of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. If we can do that, but you will not hear your nationwide evangelist ever identify her. You'll never hear the talk show host. You'll never hear these guys on there who have their healing lines. You'll never hear them. You'll never hear. Forget it. You'll turn blue in the face before you ever hear them. Why? Because they're blind leaders of the blind. I'm not trying to get all over TV. I just want to preach the truth. I'm a pastor of a local church. We just happen to video these services and put them on TV. That's what it's about. It's about preaching the truth. So who is she? Well, let me read to you from Dave Hunt's excellent book, outstanding book, A Woman Rides the Beast. Let him identify her for you. Rather still, let a cardinal. Why do they call themselves cardinal? They call themselves cardinal from the Latin word cardo, which means the keeper of the door, the holder of the keys. In plain words, a cardinal is a man who says, I hold the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We're going to quote one of their cardinals. His name is Alphonsus de Liguri, the glories of Mary. And here's what happens after 2,000 years of degeneration into religious perversion. Quote, sinners receive pardon by Mary alone. He falls and is lost who has not recourse to Mary. Mary is called the gate of heaven because no one can enter that blessed kingdom without passing through her. The way of salvation is open to none otherwise than through Mary. The salvation of all depends on their being favored and protected by Mary. He who is protected by Mary will be saved. He who is not will be lost. Our salvation depends on thee. God will not save us without the intercession of Mary. Who would receive any grace were it not for...
Folks, I don't want to watch all this. We'll make this available for you. It's just really well done. It goes on and on and on. And just paints a picture for us of what it is we're dealing with and why there's so much confusion and why... Oh, my God. Come on in there. Somebody rescue me. I got half the world mad at me this morning.
I love it, Coach. And that, and that woman, it says that she's a harlot, and she has slept with the kings of the world. She's prostituted herself. That's what that church has done. You even look at World War II, the Roman Catholics, they stood back. And they were ready to embrace Nazism because they were thinking that Germany was going to win the world, brother.
Hey, Google, somebody Google this for me. It doesn't have to be Jared. I want to ask you a question, okay? How many Catholics in the world are there? Can somebody Google that real quick? Somebody sitting at their computer right now can Google how many Catholics are there in the world. Or we could ask even how many Catholics there are in the United States of America. We could do that. We would all agree with this, right? They're all under one banner. The Catholics are all under one banner. They all follow one pope. So right there's the demographics. It shows us on the screen. It's gray. It's more than 50 million. Does anybody see that down there? More than 50 million. There are more than 50 million Catholics in America. Can somebody tell me why abortion is still legal? I'm going to ask it again. Can somebody tell me why 50 million Catholics, all following one leader, all claiming to be pro-life? Can anybody explain to me why abortion is still legal today? And can somebody explain to me why the judges on the Supreme Court are Catholics and abortion is still legal today? Somebody help me out here.
Well, Coach, you've
because
seen
that hierarchy is satanic.
Exception of the Schofield Reference Bible.
What do you mean by that, Vinny?
Coach.
Somebody, Vince, go ahead, Vince. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I said the inception of the Schofield Reference Bible.
Well,
is the reason.
Not the Catholics, though, Vince. Not the Catholics. Catholics don't believe in they don't believe in the rapture. Why isn't every cardinal and every bishop and every pope saying, listen, Catholics, here's what we're going to do. We're going to close down our churches, and we are going to appear. Every mass we perform is going to be done out in front of the abortion clinic. No more coming to church until we stop abortion. Does anybody think abortion would be legal for a week if they were to do that? And the question I'm asking you is, with this facade of the Pope and the church being pro-life and 50 million Catholics in America, majority of which vote for Democrats, can somebody explain to me why abortion is still legal other than
because
there's a Trojan horse somewhere?
Use the services. Coach, then you don't have to worry about. They'll already be at the abortion clinic. You've seen them drive in with their rosaries hanging from their windshield. They use the services. And then the question is, I wonder how many Catholics that are actually abortionists also. Brother, they use the service.
It's because of the money. Because of the money.
Always follow the money. Always follow the money. I wonder how many Catholics go to a Catholic church that is pro-life and they aren't pro-life themselves. Just think about that a second. How many must that be? And could it be the Catholic church doesn't want to go there because pro-life is simply a position? It's just a position. That's all it is.
Right. It's not, they don't really care. Right. It's just,
they don't really care. And why don't they really care? You know why they don't really care? Because the leadership doesn't really care. Now, why doesn't the leadership really care? Why don't they really care? And can I tell you this one? Why is the Vatican? Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, let it out of me. Why do they want all the illegal immigrants coming from Mexico? I'll tell you why. They're Catholics.
Right.
Mexicans are Catholics. Hey, right wing watch. There you go. There's something nefarious going on here, folks. There's something that doesn't add up.
Go back to the origins of the Catholic Church. Yeah. Why was it organized? Why did Constantine organize it?
Coach, and you may not
organize it to support the state. He organized it to support himself.
Yeah.
Coach, Catholics have been a docile. It's a counterfeit Christian faith. It's counterfeit Christianity.
Okay.
And it's conformed to the world everywhere that it is.
And in the 1200s,
we had a Protestant revolution in this country. We did not have a Catholic revolution.
He is so true, right? Catholicism teaches conformity. It really, really does. It really does. And if you think about it, it was Martin Luther. I'm just getting this right now. It was Martin Luther that rose up and led a coup against the Catholic Church. He led something anti the establishment. Martin Luther rebelled against establishment religion, right? And even today, Catholicism is establishment government religion. They're in bed together. I'm sorry. Some of the other were trying to get in a good point, Lowell. Yeah.
You hit the nail on the head just a second ago, and I don't think you even realized.
I wasn't swinging a hammer. How could I have done that? Go ahead.
You said the word leadership. And that's the key to the whole thing. If the leader of that guy behind the pulpit, whether it be Baptist or independent or Catholic or anything else, if the leader of that guy behind the pulpit were indeed Jesus Christ and the Father, then he would be preaching what Jesus Christ and the Father once preached. But if the leader of that guy behind the pulpit is some committee or some group or some entity in an Ivy Tower university somewhere, then he's going to preach what they want preached. Or, amen. Here's the worst of it. If what that guy is preaching is not what Jesus and the Father want preached, ultimately, however far up the chain you go, the leader of that church is Satan.
Well, y'all just got to serve somebody. Somebody else, come on in. We just got a couple minutes.
Well, absolutely. But you know what else? They, you know, if they compromised, you know, you know, they're, all of them are acting like pedophiles. And, you know, they keep doing this, the sin of pedophilia and in their, with the boys, you know, in their, I don't even know what they call the accolades or whatever they call them. But anyway, you know, they're compromising, you know, that position. And so they can't support any other position because they, you know, they just keep doing the sin after sin after sin. And it leads to other sins, which, you know, if they weren't doing that, they'd stop the abortion, but they're doing that. And, you know, so they got no foundation to, bring people to Christ.
If they made me Pope, I would close down all churches till abortion ended. It doesn't
absolutely
matter.
Absolutely.
They're not pro-life. They're not pro-life. No. They would do that first, right? Again, yep. It's part of that same deception. And then there's five of them sitting on the Supreme Court. I'm making some enemies today. Somebody else. Yeah,
Coach, history tells us a lot about the Catholic Church. You even go back and realize, you know, the popes were used to able to, and the priests were able to be married back in the day. But not only that, they used to have the abortion was active in there when they told priests they could no longer marry. The priests were getting nuns pregnant. The nuns were having abortion. These things were kept in secret. But now that's why we see pedophilia that's happening, because one perverse sin led to another. So that abortion murderous spirit has remained in the Catholic Church.
Folks, listen, last thing I want this to be is a Catholic bash. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. That's all I'm trying. I've got some friends. I have some great, great friends who are Catholic. Love the Lord. I was raised Catholic. Some of my family's still Catholic. I'm not a Catholic hater. Hey, boys and girls, I tell them all the time. I get emails all the time. People try to get me to come home. Come home, David. Come home, Coach. Come home where? Come home to the Catholic. Home there? Listen, I was there for 35 years. I found Jesus outside the Catholic Church. I got a new home. I am home. I am home. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I think the Catholic Church is like the Mason. Once you get way past, you know, 33 degree and beyond, they know the raw evil. And I think it's like the Catholic Church. So I've got a lot of wonderful Catholic friends. But the fact is, when you get to the higher echelon of leadership, it's pure evil. But I will say this. I'll say this in defense of Catholics. So is the evangelical church nowadays. It's getting just as bad.
Every organization that puts man at the top of it ends up being evil. We've seen that in our government. We've seen it in our church government. We've seen it that there's no one mediator between man and Christ Jesus. And if your relationship, if you cannot directly approach the throne, if you cannot directly approach your president, you say, what, are you kidding me? Yeah, right? Then you don't have government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I'm taking it up every morning and before I go to bed every night and all during the day. I'm constantly in communication with the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords. And I ain't gone through some bishop. I ain't gone through some cardinal. And I'm sorry, I'm not calling some pastor to see if he can maybe make that connection for me. Love you all.
Amen.
See you on Monday morning.